is Daf Staf Lamed Ches. We're holding by the Halakha Mishnah. Shalosh Aratzot L'Chazaka. So now that we've established what the Chazaka is, at least we think we have, our basic two days so far. We're going to introduce a new one in this Mishnah. But one of the implications of the Chazaka, of course, is that the two people that are involved have to be able to transfer information between them. Otherwise, the whole thing doesn't make sense. If the person who's the owner can't possibly hear about the Chazaka, or the person who has the Chazaka can't possibly hear of the Mechaa, so then all of the mechanism breaks down. And therefore, we need to establish here.
It is the season to be chani.
Where'd you get that lulav already? It's supposed to be holding it for me. I would have gone there before. Okay. Is he not coming to Daf?
What?
Is he coming to Daf?
I
wish we could turn on the lights over there. So if there's no way for the two people to be in communication, then of course the whole mechanism of the Chazaka doesn't make sense anymore. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Shalosh Aratzot L'Chazaka, within Eretz Yisrael, there are three separate countries in terms of Chazaka, and this was because, as we're going to see, communications at the time were very, very limited between these three areas of Eretz Yisrael. There was not much traffic going back and forth, and therefore there'd be no way for him to hear of a mecha if it was made. So he should have held on to the contract, because he has no taina to say the guy never said anything, because the guy hasn't been around. So Sholosh Aratzot HaChazaka, there's Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael, there's Eber HaYarden, is part of Eretz Yisrael, and the Galil. So therefore, Hayabi Yehuda v'chzik b'Galil, or b'Galil v'chzik b'Yehuda, if the owner and the one who's the squatter, supposedly, is in two different places, so then Eina Chazaka Achei Imo b'Medina Achat. They have to be within one place, because otherwise there's no way for him to hear of the Mecha'a. Om Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says, Lo Amru Shalosh Shanim. You know why we need 3 years for a Chazaka? Not because of what all you guys think. It has nothing to do with our needing to establish that the guy knew about it for 3 years and he wasn't Mecha. He only needed to know about it for 1 minute. The reason that we have 3 years is because we take into consideration a shear that allows the owner to be maximally distant. It's a full year distant. So he's in Spain. It takes a year to get to Spain. He's a year away. Let him find out about it, and let him go travel and tell the guy about it for another year. That's why we have 3 years. So 1 year it takes for word to get around. The moment that anybody finds out about it now, so now he's able to come to be Moche. So therefore, going at the speed of information in those days, and so you have a year, and then the year to be Mazik. So basically, the Chazaka, if it would be in one place, should be instantaneous. If the guy is there, doesn't say anything, and the buyer says, "Well, I saw he didn't say anything. He was allowing me to use it. I didn't keep my shtar." So according to Rav Yehuda Lechora, you wouldn't need the 3 years at all. So he has a completely different understanding. So lo amru shalosh shanim, the only reason they said 3 years in the first place is alakadesh yehu beaspamia v'yachzik shana. The idea over here is that the owner could be in Spain somewhere, and now he's marzik a year, and then word gets out, and then v'yachu v'yodiyuhu. Now people will go, it takes them a year to get there, shana, and then yavod shana acheret, and then when the guy hears about it, he'll come over the course of the next year to be Mocha, which implies that, according to Reb Yehuda, a guy has to come. In other words, that a Mocha, where he would be if he was in Spain, wouldn't be any Mocha. He would have to come here.
No,
well, that could also be. But But at least it seems pretty clear that the need for the extra year of travel is because he's supposed to come. So then that may be itself a separate machlokas, because we never saw that you needed to be meicha in front of him. As a matter of fact, we're going to see actually in a moment that lechora you don't need to have meicha in front of the person. So now the question immediately is raised that if you're telling me that there's different countries, and I assume that the issue is that they're, if the person is mocha, so then not necessarily are you going to hear about it. So, I mean, what does that have to do with different countries? Memanavshach. I mean, if you hold mechab, you need mechab befanav. So then, even if the guy's in the same city, it would not be a mechab befanav. So, how do we explain the fact that it's different countries? Well, where do we draw the line at where people are going to hear about things? So, Maika Sava Tanakam. Ika Sava Mecha'a Shalob Befanav Havi Mecha'a. What exactly does the Tanakhama say when he says there's three different countries? I mean, does he hold that the mecha has to be made in front of him? Or does he hold that the mecha doesn't have to be in front of him? If he holds that the mecha doesn't have to be in front of him, so then what's the difference if he's in a different area in Eretz Yisrael? Afilu Yudah v'Galil Nami. If he holds mecha'a shelo b'fanav is not considered to be a mecha, and a mecha has to be done in front of the squatter, so then even if they're in different cities in Yehuda, I mean, it has nothing to do with the name of the country. Where do we get this arbitrary thing that there's a name in which, at this point, the mecha is not mecha? Either we need to hear about it, we don't need to hear about it. I mean, so if we can assume that people hear about things without it being right in front of them, why can't we assume they hear about it from different areas too? Omra Baba Bar Mama Omar Rav. Rav is quoted here as saying, and it's important to remember this, we'll see Rav seems to say opposite later. Rav himself was quoted as saying that Liolam Kasavar Mecha Shalob Befanav Ave Mecha'a. You certainly don't have to be in front of the guy to be Mocha. Now, what is the reason for separating the countries? Mishnatenu B'Sha'at Cheirum Shanu. Our Mishnah is referring to a period in which communications are specifically shut down. It's a different issue. In other words, we're ready to say that word gets out. But word gets out when people are able to travel and there's normal communications and business. So indeed, word gets out. But in a case where there's a Sha'at Cheirum, and now there's a war, and there's strict border controls, and people are not traveling, and it's dangerous to travel, and so on. So then we can no longer rely on the fact that word's going to get out if a person's moch at a different place. And in that case, Einar Chinam, you'd have to be within the same area where communications are active. Says the Gemara, so then what does it have to do with Yehuda v'Galil? It's irrelevant, Yehuda v'Galil. Just say that in a case where there's a Sha'at Cheirum and you're in an area that is locked away from communications, then it's not a good mecha. How did Yehuda and Galil have anything to do with anything? So the Mishnah and Yehuda and Galil did not get. Why mention such a thing? I mean, Yehuda and Galil is always separate. You could just say anything. No. There's something special. What the Mishnah is trying to tell me that Akamash Malam, the Stam Yehuda v'Galil kishat cheirum dama, that in general, even in times of peace, there's very little communication between Yehuda and Galil. That's the point. So since there's so little travel between Yehuda and the Galil, you can't rely on a mecha'a shelo b'fanav getting out to him, so then Erechinami wouldn't be a mecha'a. If the person knows that the owner of the field is in the Galil and he's in Yehuda, he can't say, I didn't watch my contract because I didn't hear anybody was upset about it. Obviously nobody, you're not going to hear anybody's upset about it because there's no way for you to hear. And therefore you should have kept your contract. Now Tosis points out that throughout the sugya, all we talk about is the mecha'a, which is a little strange. I mean, why don't we talk about whether a chazak or shalom b'fanav is a chazak? You're saying word gets out about the mecha, and doesn't word have to get out about the chazaka? I mean, it works in both directions. Why don't we just start at the beginning? It's a rather oblique way of getting to the idea that the guy who is squatting in the field should know that the other person wouldn't have been able to make a mecha because he figured he wouldn't hear about it, and therefore he should have kept his contract. He's saying the guy never heard about the fact that I was in his field. That's the straightforward reason. So Tosis is bothered by this. All right, AB, I heard you started selling those esrogim without me. I heard all the good esrogim are already gone. I heard Richie came in there and made off like a bandit. Is it Kedai to come tonight or? Okay. So Tosis explains that indeed the problem really is the Mecha'a, not the Chazaka. And that's because people tend to ask about and try to keep tabs on what's happening with their property. So he's certainly going to hear about the fact that somebody, because he wants to hear about the fact, he's looking into it. It's something that is being actively researched. There's a tremendous difference between something that's being actively researched and something that you're just hoping that the guy's going to hear about. The person who's being ma'azik is not looking around to find out whether somebody's being meicha. So therefore, if he's meicha, why should we assume that it's ever going to come to his attention? Mashenken, the chazaka, the person that was in there, would have a right to assume that the man knows what's going on with his property if he had any interest in it, because he would be making his business to find out. That's why we always focus on the mecha'ah. We'll see this is an important yesod in the development of the sugya. Om Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Ein Machzikim B'Nichsei Boreach. Now, this has immediate implications for what we just said, and this is why we're bringing it up over here. If somebody's a fugitive, he's a fugitive from justice, he probably is going to have a hard time coming and being meicha. I mean, he just managed to get away. He sure ain't going to come back. And of course, it's very, this would be a good case to use as an example of someone who's in a different place, because that's the type of person that's going to have people trying to take over his property. And, oh, he can't come. It's a great way.
That guy's in a near mid class.
Exactly. What are you going to do? So they know that now this guy's not going to be coming back for a while. And now's a good time to try to establish Balut on his field. So that this becomes, we'll see that there's another issue. But up front, that's what we figure, that there's not really any particular meaning to a Nichsei Boreach, above and beyond somebody that's just in a different country. Except we're going to use him as a marshal because that's where we'd usually have trouble. Okay, so therefore, when Rav says, Ein Machzikin B'Nichse Boreach, what would that mean? That since he's not around, so there's no way to be Mocha, which is, doesn't make any sense, because Rav himself, Lamaisa, just said on Amud Aleph, that the way to understand the Mishnah is that really mecha shelo b'fanav is mecha, unless it's a shat cherum. That's certainly a nichse boreach, it's not a shat cherum, certainly not by definition. So something is problematic here with Rav, and the Gemara is going to get into this in a moment. So Rav Yehuda quotes Rav as having said that, and he said that then after Rav was nifta, remember that Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, and very often we find, he says, and then when I said over Mimer X of Rav in front of Shmuel, Shmuel's reaction was this. This is one of those cases. So, Ke Amrita, Kanei de Shmuel, when I came to learn by Shmuel, and I said to Shmuel that Rav said, Emach Zik, and Menich Se Barech, he was shocked. Amarli, he said to me, I don't understand. V'chilin Chot Befanavu Tzarech. What's the problem of a Barech? You don't have to be mocha in front of the person and he needs to be afraid that the cops are going to pick him up if he shows his face in town. He could just say, wherever he is, he could say that he's mocha, and you don't need mocha b'fanav, a word will get out. Right? Yeah, we'll see later what's considered to be a proper mocha. So far we haven't dealt with it. So I don't understand. And indeed, Rav. I mean, what was Rav trying to say? For Rav, Maika Mashma. That mecha shelo b'fanav lo havei mecha? Is that the point indeed that Rav's making? I mean, there doesn't seem to be any meaning in taking the fugitive as an example. So, I mean, the only thing that seems to be meaningful in Rav's statement is that mecha shelo b'fanav is not a mecha, and therefore you can't be mafzik. The problem is that Rav just said the opposite. That's the way that he explained the Mishnah. No. Excuse me. Rav never said what he thought. Rav explained the Mishnah. We asked, what was the shita of the Tanakhama and the Mishnah? It was arguing Rav Yehuda. How does he explain a difference between Yehuda and Galil as opposed to Stam anywhere out of town? And Rav said that indeed the only way to understand it is to say that normally Mechot Shalo B'Fanav is considered to be Mecha'a, but if it's a Shat Cheirum, or it's a place like Yehuda V'Galil, which is the equivalent of Shat Cheirum, so then it's not even a Mechot Shalo B'Fanav. But Rav never said what he thought. In actuality, Rav paskens like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, obviously, since he said you need a year for the guy to come back and to be Mecha, Rav Yehuda apparently holds that Mecha Shalom B'Fanav is not Mecha, and the guy has to come himself to be Mecha. That's how Rav holds. Rav paskin like Rav Yehuda, and what we had on Amud Aleph was Rav only coming to explain Taima the Tana Didan Kamafar. So he came to explain the Shita of the Tanakama that argues the Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. However, Leilo Svirala, whoever said that Rav necessarily buys in to Mecha Shalom B'Fanav being a proper Mecha. Anyway, this is one approach of about the story, what happened. Now, there's a whole other lashon in which Rav Yehuda quoted Rav as saying exactly the opposite. Ikari Yamri, that what Rav Yehuda quoted Rav as saying is that we are Machzik Kemidekse Boreach, meaning that Mecha Shalom B'Fanav is considered to be a Mecha'a. And in this version, he says that when I came to Shmuel, Shmuel's problem with it is, well, obviously, not that it's wrong, but that the lashon of Shmuel was pshita. V'chilim chot b'fanavu tzarech. I mean, what did you think? It's obvious from the Mishnah. If you analyze the Mishnah, there's no other way to work out the Mishnah. It must be that Mecha Shalom B'Fanav is Mecha'a, because otherwise you could not possibly explain away the fact that Yehuda V'Galil is different than two different towns in Yehuda. So what else are you going to say? So therefore it's Pashut. Anybody who reads the Mishnah would already know that you're Machzik B'Nichsei Bereach. So what was Rav coming to teach us? And he said it, of course, in the same lashon, which is why the Ikari Amri fits in. In other words, we just have this one, we're not clear about how he meant it. So he says the same language. What did you think? In this version is what it means. Well, what did you think? That he would have to be Mocha in front of him? And indeed, says the Gemara of Rav, Maika Mashpelah. So what is Rav's Chiddush? Rav's Chiddush is that, I mean, it can't be that Mecha Shalom B'Fanav Havi Mecha. Because Rav already said that, right? Rav said that on Amud Aleph, Ve'omer Rav Chada Zimna. That's how Rav explained the Mishnah. So why would Rav have to say it again in this context? Elo HaKamash. I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. You thought that Boreach was just an easy example of a guy who is going to be taken advantage of. But the truth is, Boreach leads you to consider another possibility. The Boreach is probably in a place where he's not in contact with a lot of people, because he certainly doesn't want word to get around for the IRS start looking to deport him, you know. So therefore, he may know people over there to be Mocha, too, that have no intention of ever traveling, or may not even be capable of traveling. I mean, they're old people. You know, he's hiding out in an old age home. I mean, I don't know. He's going to talk to the people there. How is the message going to get out? So the Chiddush of Rav is that Afilu bif micha bifnei shnayim she'en yecholim lomar lo. Even if he's mech in front of witnesses, and he's probably going to hang around people that have no intention of traveling over to his city and casually mentioning, oh, Joe, sure, we saw him. He's hanging out in Tahiti. That's all he needs. So Mamela, he's friends with the kind of people that doesn't have to worry are going to end up back home. So these people, so you would say, oh, so if that's the case, it's certainly not a mecha, because I mean, these guys are never going to travel. Therefore, the bigger Chiddush is that af al pikein, it doesn't make any difference, because still the word is going to end up getting around. Even if they don't travel themselves, word is going to end up getting around. And therefore, even such a mecha is considered to be Eimecha. And the reason that Shmuel missed that, and was, I mean, because you'd think Shmuel should think to himself, well, I mean, if he chose to say this in a case of a Boreach, he was probably coming to add something. But you see, Shmuel would never have thought that he was coming to add that, because Shmuel holds it's not true. So it didn't occur to him that Rav is coming dafka to be chelek on him, because the Omer of Anan, l'didim efarshali b'nei demar Shmuel, I actually heard from Shmuel that in a case like that, it would not be a kosher mecha'a. And that mecha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam sheyecholim lomar lo. If you do the mecha'a, even though it's not b'fanav, but it's in front of people who are capable of traveling and letting the word out, so then it's a mecha'a. But if you would be meicha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'en yecholim lo marlo, these are people that cannot travel, they're invalids or whatever the case may be, so then indeed it's lo havi chazaka. And that's lo havi mecha. And if it's not a mecha, it's not a chazaka either. So that indeed was Rav's chiddush, which is chaylek on Shmuel and chaylek on what the mimer that Rav Anan just said. And Rav argues because Rav said, who cares whether they themselves are going to travel? The truth is, it's always a question of 6 degrees of separation. So chavra, chavra, itzlei, v'chavra, the chavra, chavra, itzlei, add that up, you get 6 places, you know, eventually. And they're going to end up, it's going to end up coming to his ears. Therefore, we don't really care if the guy himself goes or not. So these two lishonos, obviously, in Rav are very, very different. One, Rav is paskin like Rav Yehuda, and you need to be mecha b'fanav. And the other one, on the contrary, he's paskining the ultimate in mecha shelo b'fanav, even if the word's only going to get around the chatchila in the other place, it'll eventually come here. And even though these people themselves are not going to travel. Well, my Rav Hilchasa. The halacha is, says Rava, when it comes to Nichsei Boreach, you cannot be Machzik B'Nichsei Boreach. Now that seems to be saying that Mecha Shelo B'Fanav is Lo Avi Mecha, but Mecha Shelo B'Fanav is Mecha. What? Tarte, what are you saying? Two contradictory things here? No. We didn't tell you what you're a fugitive from, you know. One was a fugitive from the IRS, the Albatzor. The other guy is a fugitive on a murder charge. So over there, there's a lot of people that are interested in bringing him in, especially when he's got a contract out on it. And therefore, if you're talking about Khan, is a Boreach Machmat Mamon. Okay, Mila, you know. So they don't pick him up so quickly. But Khan is Boreach Machmat Muradim, which is Persian for murder. And over there, he's worried about guys that are going to come to take a little revenge. Yeah. So that, he doesn't want anybody to know. So he's not going to let it out. That, oh, I am the guy that, oh, that's all he needs. He's not going to risk his life to be Meichem because of that. The Chazaka is not a Chazaka either. But normally, Mecha Shelo B'Fanav is a Mecha'a. So now, we've been talking about a Mecha'a as if we know all about it, but what exactly constitutes a Mecha'a? Hechi Dami Mecha'a. We already saw that a Mecha'a could be a Mecha'a L'Mechza. So we know that there exists a certain type of mecha'a in which the guy says, I want it to be known that such and such a person is currently eating the paris of my field with rishus. He either paid for the paris, or he's the owner of a mashkanta de sura, or he's an oris, as the case may be. And that was okay because he's tining that he wants to make it clear that he's the owner of the karka, and this person can't have any chazok of the karka. But suppose you make a full mecha'al, what would you have to say? Omer Rav Zvid, I'll tell you, if you say planya gazalana, so-and-so is a gazlan, that's not a mecha'al. That's just an insult. Because, I mean, you want to put me down. You put me down about lots of things. I mean, you would say I'm a gazlan. You didn't say anything about your karka. You didn't say anything about threats or anything. So that doesn't constitute a mecha'a. If you say, Plonia is a gazlanu, de noketri la aroi be gazlanuta. He is a gazlan because he inhabits my land without having paid for it. Ulamacha tavana le bedina, and I am planning to sue him as soon as I get a chance. That is considered to be a mecha'a. Now the question is, there's actually a machlokas rishonim here about which, you see there's a contradiction. Because you first say the only thing that's not enough is just to say planya gazlana, because you didn't mention the land. Which is mashma, if you would have said planya gazlana because he's in my land illegally, that would be sufficient, and you don't need to say I'm going to sue him. But then the next case, no, only if you say you're going to sue him, then it's considered to be a machal. Which one was dafka? Which one was lav dafka? So the Rabbeinu Chananel learns that you have to actually say that you're going to sue him, because otherwise it's also just considered to be a put down. Now that Gazan walked into my land, you'd say, you want to say nasty things about me. You know, let's talk about brass tacks. You intend to do something about it, then I'll watch my contract. You just want to insult me. I got lots of people, sticks and stones, you know. But, what's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Words will never hurt me. So that's the Rabbeinu Chananel's shot. Tosfos and the Rashbam, however, argue, and they hold it's only an insult stam when it's not backed up by specific data. Somebody says, that guy's a goslin. People say all kinds of things about people. They're saying that guy is a goslin because he's in my karka and he stole it from me. You don't have to add the fact that you intend to take him to court. It's evident that that's what you're saying. He's a goslin. He took my and I intend to act upon it. So even without saying the last words, it would be a proper, according to the Rashbam's preferred shot. This was Makabel from Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yochum. But Tosfos himself also here disagrees with the Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, how about if you tell the guy, look, this guy is a goslin, he's in, I'm going to sue him, but don't tell him. But if you tell him, don't tell him. So, Omer lo temer le mai, is that a mecha'a? Omer of Zvid, well, I mean, how come lo temer le? If the guy is saying, don't tell him, how could it be a mecha'a? I mean, the whole point is that you're supposed to get the message to him. If you're trying to prevent the people from giving the message, I mean, what kind of mecha is that? Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, now wait a minute, wait. All he said was, don't tell him. He never told the people, don't tell anybody. Now, you know what that means to people, don't tell him, okay, but you tell everybody else in town, which is basically the same thing as telling him. And in the end, he's going to find out about it. And since they weren't specifically charged not to tell anybody, So Enochin Amilach, Rino Amilach. Once he tells anybody, Chavrucha Chavri Yisrael, and Chavrucha Chavrucha Chavri Yisrael, and we've already established that things get around once you can tell anybody. We see how the implications of Gabi Lashon Hara we're gonna actually talk about. Omru Lei Lo Amrina Lei. How about if the witnesses that heard the Mecha'a say, well, we're gonna be careful not to tell him. So is that a mecha'a? Amru Zvid, haka amru le, la amru le. Of course it's not a mecha'a. He knows that the words are never going to get out. They said they're not going to tell him. And here too, Rav Papa says, they only said they're not going to tell him. Lididei lo amru le, la akri, na amru le. And as I've already said, chavrucha chavre itle, and chavrucha chavre itle. Now how about if you tell the people that hear the mecha'a, Lo tepuk lechushuta. No word should escape your mouths about this issue. So how about then? Omer of Zvid. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that the Tzana Mecha'a, Komer lo tepuk lechushuta. But how about if they say to him, Omer Ulei, well, we want you to know we're very discreet people. We're not the kind of people that anybody's going to hear this from. So lo mafkinan shuta. We're not going to let a word about this escape our mouth. Mum's the word, exactly. Omer of Papa. So Rav Papa says, well, you know, in this case, they said they're not going to say anything to anybody. I mean, they're even, I agree, that I can't get them on to Chavrucha Chavri Yisrael if they've already committed themselves to not talking about it. Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua Amar, called Milta de la Ramya Le de Inish. Anything that has not been a specific charge that was applied to another person from someone, that I am asking you, to take care of something in a particular way. And you just said that this is the way you're going to behave is meaningless. Because Omar Lava Lava Daita, he'll let it escape his mouth and he won't even realize that he's talking about it. Because he doesn't feel any external commitment. We talked about this in Ochas Truva, Lagabe Vidui, and so on. To say something to yourself is a New Year's resolution which has absolutely no validity at all. So that, you know, we're not going to talk. Yeah, you know, but you don't even think about it. So it's lavadaita. So he'll say it without even realizing that he's saying it. And therefore, unless the first case where you told him, So then Enochinami, you made it a commitment between the two of you. There it's possible that he really will be discreet. There are such people somewhere, maybe. So maybe Enochinami, the Melchah, won't get around. But where he's telling you, and it's not in response to a demand of any kind, so then it's probable that he's just going to let it slip without even realizing that he let it slip. Shalai sharatzot l'chazaka yudav evar yardin v'galil. Hayab yudav v'chzik v'galil v'galil v'chzik v'yudah ina chazaka shemo b'minina achat. Omer v'yudah lo omer shalashayim in the first place. Ela kedeshiye be'aspame av'yachzik shana v'yalchu v'yodiyu shana v'yavol shana acharet. So there's no such thing as being out of range for a chazaka ever. Maika sova tanakama. Ika sova mecha shalo b'fanav habi mecha'a. So then, who cares if you're in Yehuda Galil Nami? And if Yod Mecha Shelo Befanav Lo Avi Mecha, so then even if you'd be in the same country, but in different cities, I feel you would even Nami Lo. Om Rebaba Bar Mom, Olam Rav, the truth is, Lo Nam Kasov Mecha Shelo Befanav Avi Mecha. Clearly the Mishnah is only coming to limit a Chazak in a case where it's a Sh'at Cheirum Shano. And then if you'll ask me, so then why mention Yehuda Galil? Then I get even in times of shalom, is kishat chirum damu. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, ein machzik v'nichzei boreach. Ki amrita, said Rav Yehuda, when I came after Rav's death, kamei Shmuel, omar li, I don't understand why not. V'chilim chot b'fanav, who tzarich? The Rav, indeed, my kamash b'nam, b'chash shalom b'fanav lo havim b'cha'ah. I thought Rav himself was the one who said, b'chash shalom b'fanav, havim b'cha'ah. No, Rav only said the time of the Tana did done come afar. She never said he agreed. So Leilo Svirle, Vikidi Amre, that the whole story was the opposite. That Omer of Yonam Rav Machzikim Menichse Bereach, and then Ki Amrita Kamele Shmuel, he said, well, obviously, Vachidim Chot Bifanavu Tzarich. And Rav, Maika Mashmalan, that what? Mechah Shalom Bifanav Ami Mechah. I mean, obviously that was Rav's own Pshat in the Mishnah. Omer Rav Chodazimna. Ah, like a Mashmalan. Da'afilu micha, b'fnei shnayim she'enam yecholim lomar lo havi mecha'a. The Amar of Anan, the reason that Shmuel didn't catch on to this, is because the Amar of Anan, l'didi mifash le'minei demar Shmuel, that micha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'yecholim lomar lo, only then is the mecha'a mecha'a. But micha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam she'enam yecholim lomar lo, lo havi mecha'a. The Rav, he said, who cares if they go themselves? Chavracha chavra itle, v'chavra the chavracha chavra itle. Omar Rava, hilchata ein machzikim nechse bereach, but mecha shalom b'fanav is a mecha'a. Well, you notice those are contradictory statements, aren't they? Lokar shekan boreach machmat mamon, where it's just like any other mecha shalom b'fanav. Kan boreach machmat meradim, where he's got to keep his location secret. Echidomi mecha'a. Omer is with Plana Gazlano, he is not considered to be mecha'a. Plana Gazlano, do not get the la aroi, because the nuta, ulomocha tavana le dadina, that is avi mecha'a. How about if Omar lo temer le mai? Omer is with, well, I mean, I'll come lo temer le, what kind of mecha'a is that? Rav Papa Omer, you only said don't tell him, but you didn't say don't tell anybody. So le didei lo temer le, but lachrini amre le. And therefore it's going to get to him. How about if they say to him, we're not going to tell him? Well, they say they're not going to tell him. They only said, but and again, how about if he says to them, not let mum's the word? How about if they say to him that mum's the word, we're not going to tell anybody, lomafkin and shuta? Omer of Papa, same thing. I mean, how come lomafkin and shuta? Ravuna, brother of Yeshua, says it is not the same thing. Because kol milton l'oram yalei de'inish, from some type of objective outside placement, he will be omer lo v'lava daitei.